You're listening to the State of Women Radio Network, the first and only global radio network focused exclusively on women and girls, with your host, Michelle Jaffe.
Welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are so honored to welcome our guests on the show today, Elsa De Silva, as well as Anu Bhardwaj of Women Investing in Women. And Elsa, it's going to be so special to be talking with you today because your work absolutely encourages women and girls to speak up and speak out about an issue that affects millions across the globe through Safe City. And so I know that our listeners will be thrilled to hear about this as well. It's some very exciting technology. So first, I'd like to know how you are this nighttime now. Elsa is coming to us from Mumbai, India. So Elsa, how are you today?
Thanks, Michelle. Hi, everyone. I'm really good, actually. So I'm very happy to have this opportunity to speak with you. Thank you, Anu, and thank you, Michelle.
Of course. And Anu, I know you just landed in the U.S. again. How are you today?
I'm a little jet lagged, but otherwise really happy, I think.
Excellent. Now, Elsa, I'd like to start off by knowing a little bit more about you as sort of a background before we get to talking more about Safe City. And first of all, I just want to know, what did you do before you started Safe City? What were you involved in?
So I had a long career in aviation, 20 years actually. I started off as a flight attendant and then I was a safety instructor teaching pilots and cabin crew safety and emergency procedures. I then went through an internal management trainee program with the airline I was working with and ended up in the strategic side of the business. And then I joined another airline, Kingfisher Airlines, and I did several things, but my last portfolio was Vice President Network Planning, where my department planned the route network for the airline. And at one point, Kingfisher was the largest airline in India.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, now, how did the... I'd like to know from you what the journey kind of was from your background in aviation and what you did prior to Safe City to then working within this organization. And I'd like to know what inspired you to do what you do to get started with this.
Well, you know, throughout my growing years, I always knew that I wanted to work towards the empowerment of women and children. There were several incidents in my life that made me think more deeply about this topic. But, you know, when I was working with the airlines, I enjoyed my job and it was a very fulfilling career. However, in 2012, Kingfisher Airlines went through a financial downturn. Mm-hmm. And it was then that I was forced to make a personal decision whether I wanted to continue in corporate or I wanted to follow my dreams and move to the development sector. And I thought, here's an opportunity for me to actually do that, to make that switch. And if I didn't do it then, I would never have the courage to do it in the future. That's what I felt at that point. Mm-hmm. And as things lined up, you know, I was selected to attend a management program by the Swedish Institute that they had for India, which focused on corporate social responsibility and sustainability. And that program actually got me thinking more deeply about what exactly I wanted to focus on. It gave me insights into what others were doing around the world, you know, to protect human rights and work on, you know, the way they were working on social issues. It also put me in touch with my co-founders who were my peers at the program. And on returning from that program, we had the incident in Delhi where this young woman was brutally raped and beaten and she died of her injuries much later. And, you know, all these things combined got me to urgently work on gender-based violence. And that's how we launched Safe City.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is the concept behind Safe City? What is this organization?
So Safe City documents sexual violence in public spaces in India. And the reason why we do that is because till the rape of Nirbhaya in Delhi, you know, we never really spoke about this issue. And it was, you know, as though the floodgates opened and suddenly all around people were talking about sexual violence. And when I spoke to my friends, I realized that practically every one of us had experienced some form of it, but till then never had the courage to speak about it in open. And as I dug deeper, I realized that the global statistics are equally shocking. According to UN Women, 1 in 3 women around the world experience some form of sexual assault at least once in their lifetime, and yet about 80% of them choose not to talk about it. And for me, now that I've been working on this topic for a little over 2 years, I realized the statistics for India are definitely much higher.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very important for us to create a platform where women could safely talk about their stories anonymously. And then we wondered if we could use this crowdsourced data to find some trends, because we were mapping violence in public spaces. And if we could find trends that indicated the comfort zones of the perpetrators, then could we change that, you know, get communities involved or make that data publicly available so that either individuals or communities could use it for their own personal safety or the safety of their neighborhoods, but also to hold institutions accountable in mm-hmm. doing their jobs. And we've mm-hmm. proven that over the last 2 years.
Excellent. And now I'd like to remind our listeners that if you are just now listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls, we're talking with Elsa Da Silva of Safe City, as well as Anu Bardwaj of Women Investing in Women. And we are talking about Safe City and how the idea for this organization came about. Now, Elsa, can you explain what it was like to start this organization? What types of issues did you come across, or challenges that you faced in the development of such an idea?
So launching the idea was not very difficult, because we had already heard of a similar initiative in Egypt called HarrisMap, where mm-hmm. they were using open source technology, Ushahidi, to crowd map sexual violence. So we just replicated it. It was easy to put together. But creating awareness that now you have such a platform in India was the tough bit. Initially, because of the, you know, the media around the rape, you know, and the attention it got, gave us a platform where a lot of people started reporting in. But after a few months, you know, the media attention died away. So the challenge was to sustain that, you know, that reporting, the interest in the issue. And what we found in India was that a completely online solution is not always going to work. So we had to add an on-the-ground component in the form of campaigns and workshops. And we worked a lot with volunteers. We found that because the issue is so personal to a lot of people, there was an interest to give back and to contribute in terms of time and skill. So mm-hmm. we harnessed that for Safe City. And we, you know, worked with several volunteers doing several different things. But the biggest component of our volunteer base is college students. And in Delhi in particular, they have been very active going and creating awareness on the campuses about the issue, but also doing, you know, things on the ground in neighborhoods where they involve residents or the community themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we then replicated that with other NGOs. So we worked with Plan India International that runs the Gender Resource Center in Lal Kua, and, you know, another NGO that also runs another Gender Resource Center in another part of Delhi. And then Protsahan, which works with teenage girls in Uttam Nagar.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Now, I'd like to know from you, how exactly does it work? What does someone do if they want to report an issue on Safe City?
So they can access our website at the moment. So there are several ways. So one is they go to our website, that's www.safecity.in, and they can share their story. So sharing their story means giving us a few data points. That is what happened, where it happened, and the time and date it happened. So And if they wish to leave their name and email, they can do so anonymously. They can also call if they are in India, and give us a missed dial. So a missed dial is where they tell a number, gets connected, and we call them back and, you know, get the details from them. And the third is if they live in a community where we have partners, then they may be, you know, they may have face-to-face interviews. So those are the three ways. But in the near future, we are launching a Twitter channel where, you know, we will invite people to share their experiences to our Twitter handle, which right now is not active, but when we launch it, it will. And we'll then pass it on to the police in certain cities.
Great.
Our mobile app is also under development, and that should be out in another month. And the third way that we are thinking of launching is through voice-based recording systems. So where they would have to talk to an answering machine. And these are all different methods because India is a multi-layered society and not everybody has internet access. And not everybody is comfortable leaving their mobile phone numbers as well. So therefore, we had to think of different ways to reach out to people.
Right. Very innovative. I love how you combine both social media, using a phone number, using the website. It's multifaceted, and I know it's going to make a lot of great change in the world. We are going to go to our first break. We are just getting started with this conversation. Remember to connect with us by going to facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, use #womeninvest, #girlsinvest, and #weforshe. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the State of Women Radio Network, the first and only global radio network focused exclusively on women and girls.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Once again, we are with our guest today, Elsa Da Silva of Safe City, as well as Anu Bardwaj of Women Investing in Women. And before you cut to our break, we talked a little bit about Safe City, as well as Elsa's background before she started this organization. And we're going to get right back to our conversation about this special organization to help the prevention of gender-based violence in places like India. Now, Elsa, I'd like to know from you, is there a risk that some of the reports from the women who are experiencing this violence, are there risks that some of the reports are untrue? And if so, how does this organization handle a risk like this?
So most of the reports that we get are anonymous. And therefore, there's always that risk that there could be some of them that might be not true. But then again, we use it as crowdsourced data. So we look at the larger trend and not individual cases. We're not solving individual cases at Safe City. And we look at the dominant problem of a particular location. So for example, out of 50 reports, if 40 reports talk about stalking, then that's the dominant issue. And then we then look at, okay, if stalking is the issue in this neighborhood, what could be the potential solutions? And that's how we approach the problem. So we are not here to solve individual cases of stalking, which we clearly mentioned that they would have to go to the police directly and make the complaint and follow the legal process. But if they choose not to go to the police, we still want that information because it's of value and it helps us understand what, you know, is going on in that neighborhood. And as a community, are we comfortable with stalking being the dominant issue? So, and then once we identify that, then what could be the possible solutions? And then work with various stakeholders. So it may involve actually going back to the police and giving them those data points and saying, could you increase surveillance or, you know, seeking their help in finding a, you know, relevant solution.
Excellent. Now, around how many stories or responses from victims has Safe City received since its creation? And where are the reports mainly coming from?
So We've been mapping for a little over 2 years, and we've got about 5,500 reports from India and Nepal, and some
Wow.
from Cameroon and Kenya as well. Nepal, Cameroon, and Kenya are through partners. Within India, we have the most number of reports from Delhi, and that's because we have on-the-ground teams actually working in several neighborhoods. And as part of their campaigns, they collect the data. So it's not an indication that Delhi has a larger problem than the rest of India. It's just that we have more feet on the ground.
Okay.
We've had reports from small towns in India, all the large cities, everywhere practically. So it's a global problem to me. It's just a matter of, collecting data in large numbers from a particular place. And our focus is on Delhi, Bombay, Goa, Pune, and then Bangalore. So we will be focusing in these areas and whatever, building partnerships or creating teams from the college youth community so that we can, collect as many reports as we can from there. And then wherever else, people hear about us, they can also log in reports.
Great. Now, were you surprised when you first started receiving these reports? Were you surprised by the number or the type of feedback, the kinds of stories that you were receiving, or did you expect the number and the type of crime that was occurring in cities around India?
So actually, I thought there would be many more. It's just that people are reluctant to share their stories, even if they are anonymous, because there's so much of shame and stigma around them. And that is one of the reasons why we started doing workshops and campaigns on the ground so that we can explain to them what the problem is. So in many cases, women in India and girls in India don't even know how to identify sexual harassment and violence. So one is understanding the issue, and then second, what are their legal rights? A lot of them don't even know that there are laws in place. And then, helping them understand that there's no shame, there should not be shame involved where you are concerned, but sharing your story will actually highlight the problem and make it more visible. What I was surprised was that there are trends even with smaller amounts of data. When we look at the Delhi data, different neighborhoods actually have different kinds of problems. So if you take Connaught Place, which is a commercial hub within Delhi, the dominant issue is touching and groping. And I would assume it's because of the commercial nature of that place that it's easier for people to get away with this kind of behavior under the guise of anonymity. Whereas in a more residential area like Rohini, it is more of robbery, which is chain snatching. Now, chain snatching, most Indian women wear gold chains. And what we found was that a lot of them were reporting that they were attacked and they were robbed of their gold chains. And since that kept coming up in several reports, we actually added it as a category, though it's not directly sexual harassment, but because it was very relevant. Whilst in another neighborhood, it was taking pictures without permission and staring. So when you understand what is the dominant issue, you can actually design your interventions and solutions accordingly. And that I found was very fascinating.
Absolutely. And if you're just now tuning into our show, you're listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. We're talking with Elsa De Silva and Anu Bardwaj about Safe City and bringing about, I would say, more attention on the issue of gender-based violence in India. And Elsa, as I understand it, there is more to Safe City than just reporting these issues. There are different programs and events that are hosted by the organization as well. And one of them that I'd like to talk about specifically is the Safe City Utamnagar chapter. If you can explain just a little bit about what that chapter is, and we can get into more details in a bit.
Yeah, so We work with several partners in different neighborhoods. And one of the neighborhoods in Delhi is Uttam Nagar, where we are working with Protsahan, which is an NGO that works with young teenage girls. So Sonal Kapoor, who's the founder of Protsahan, and I are Vital Voices lead fellows. And during our peer-to-peer mentorship, peer-to-peer exchange program, we realized that, you know, we work on similar issues but with different target groups, and why not collaborate? And so that's how we started working with them. So we just finished the first phase of our campaign where we educated the young girls on the issue of child sex abuse and sexual harassment. Mm-hmm. And then we helped them collect data in their own neighborhood on what are the issues that women face. So they must have collected about 150 reports, which weren't easy for them because these are young girls going and talking to either women or other young girls in the community,
right,
and actually collecting this data. And one of the dominant issues that they came up with and identified was actually child sex abuse, which is within the family and with known perpetrators. So that, you know, was very it was a difficult topic and a very sensitive topic because, you know, then the parents got involved and we had to educate the parents about the topic as well.
Mm-hmm.
So but the girls, it's very fascinating for these young girls because now they know that, you know, they can have a much better life and that there are rules and laws in place which allow them to do that. So when they go home now, they actually question the yardstick with which they are being judged versus their brothers. And to me, I think that's the first step towards empowerment, because with education and awareness, you actually create, you know, the next generation who are able to stand up for their own rights. And to me, that's another aspect of my work, which is very fascinating.
Absolutely. And I know, Anna, you also place an emphasis on educating young girls about issues like this. And I think what's important to understand is that many times these topics can be very mature. And, you know, many adults might think it might be inappropriate to talk about young girls about issues like this because, I mean, it's a pretty heavy topic. But I think what's important is the realization that by educating these young girls, you are creating, you know, a new generation that will fight this issue and hopefully will decrease the rate of the violence that will be occurring in places like India and around the world, correct?
Yes, and I'd like to give you an example. So we have these workshops that we do in schools because in India we don't have this kind of education as part of the curriculum. And uh-huh. There's a real gap there. And, you know, if you take any statistics, you will realize that, you know, the perpetrator is targeting girls young as even 7 years old. So we have workshops for 7 years and above where we explain to them in very simple language about child sex abuse, about a good and bad touch, about happy and unhappy secrets, about you know, identifying their emotions, identifying their body parts, mm-hmm. you know, and giving, you know, calling them by their correct names, and also identifying who could be trusted adults that one could go to in case of a crisis. And, you know, we did one of these workshops at a school in Bombay, and at the end of the workshop, this 9-year-old came up to me and said, you know, I can now go home and talk to my mother about what had happened because I now know that I didn't do anything wrong. And to me, that really touched my heart and made my work totally worthwhile because that 9-year-old girl now knows that she did nothing wrong, you know. Mm-hmm. And I always look at that incident when I'm feeling low. I think of that incident and I remind myself that, you know, yes, my work is worthwhile and I am bringing about change, even if it is one child at a time.
Right. I mean, you know, we talk about, or we mentioned a few minutes ago about the trend in our culture that these issues put the blame on the victims a lot of times in the cases of violence. And I think it's great that, you know, that this program is showing these girls that that's not the case and that they can change the way that our culture is structured through education and through learning about ways that they can prevent and then deal with the issues if they do happen. And Elsa, we're going to get back to this topic when we get back from our next break. But for all of our listeners out there, remember to tell us what you think about this discussion. Go to facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter. Be sure to comment using the hashtag womeninvest, hashtag girlsinvest, or hashtag weforshe. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the State of Women Radio Network, the first and only global radio network focused exclusively on women and girls, with your host, Michelle Jaffe.
And we'd like to welcome our listeners back to our show on women investing in women and girls. We are with our guest today, Elsa Da Silva of Safe City, as well as with Anu Bardwaj of Women Investing in Women. And we talked about Safe City, the organization, and the many parts of the organization that make it so special, including different programs to educate young girls about these gender-based violence situations and how they can combat the issues and change the future of these communities in the future. And now, Elsa, I'd like to talk about the impact of Safe City and how you're looking to spread large-scale awareness on this issue.
You know, our aim is to make public spaces safer and equally accessible to all, especially women and children. And therefore, the current measurement that we are looking at is how many women and girls we can access and pass this message to, and how many men and boys can we involve, how many actions that we take in a neighborhood, and conversations that we create. And over a period of time, we can then measure whether there's any real change, because this is something that cannot be seen overnight or will happen in a couple of years. So we've given ourselves a window of 5 years. At this point, we have over 43,000 users on Facebook who are pretty active. And we have a Twitter channel called Pin the Creep, where we create conversations on the topic, but from the curator's point of view. So we invite people to take over our handle for a week, and they talk about gender inequality or gender-based violence from their perspective, which could be on any topic. So to give you an example, we've had a Supreme Court lawyer talk about the legal aspect. We've had two 15-year-old students who've been talking about it from theirs. This week, we have an environmentalist. Some time ago, we had a person who spoke about gender and fitness routines and exercise routines and the importance it has on a woman and her life. We've had urban planners, we've had journalists from India and abroad, we've had men as well take over our handle. So, you know, it creates it gives people a chance to talk about the issue, but also listen to different perspectives, because everyone has their own personal story, and we want to, you know, encourage these conversations. So I think Pin the Creep has been a really great experiment, I would say. And the curators themselves have given us feedback that it has been a way for them to actually talk about the issue behind the handle without revealing their identity. And it has only given them the confidence to take it on to their own handle as well.
Excellent.
Michelle, I have a question for Elsa. The media attention that you guys have been receiving, has it been primarily in Delhi, or has it been all over India, or what's your media strategy in terms of getting your app in the hands of the majority of people?
So we've actually had a lot of media attention. In fact, we've had more attention overseas than within India. But even in India, I think we've been able to get stories from all parts of India is only because, you know, we've been covered in regional media as well. However, there's still the stigma of getting people to report. So that's why unless you have an on-the-ground presence, it either directly or through a partner, you know, it's difficult to get large amounts of data. But we hope that maybe with the mobile app, it's easier to report with the mobile rather than going to a website. It's also easier when you get push notifications that tell you, that give you information. Right now, you can sign up for alerts, but they still come to you in an email format as opposed to notifications that you would get on your phone. So we are hoping that the new features that we are developing on the mobile app will be user-friendly and may add value to a person's life, and therefore they feel the need to report on our app.
That's fantastic, Elsa. And once again, to our listeners, if you're just now tuning in to this discussion, you're listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls, and we're talking to Elsa Da Silva and Anu Bhardwaj about Safe City. And Elsa, I mean, the effort created through Safe City is created through the responses of citizens. And this has to do with the type of media that you have by having different people have control over you know, your Twitter and really creating a discussion around the topic. So what does it feel like to be able to empower the everyday person to generate social impact?
I think it's a great feeling to be the facilitator where people connect with each other, people have these conversations on your platform. And initially, when we launched Pin the Creep as a curated account, there was a lot of apprehension that what if they misuse it? What if they, you know, misrepresent us? But I can tell you, it's been over a year, so we've had over 50 curators. And I don't know them personally, but they have stuck to the guidelines. They have never overstepped their, you know, the boundaries, and it's been a great experience. I have learned so much from you know, the conversations we've had on Pin the Creep. So I think you know, trusting people is good in a lot of ways, especially on this issue, because you need to trust, and everyone needs to be given a chance to voice their views. Mm-hmm. And the more conversations we have on it, hopefully it will break down the barriers that we all face in society because of the stigma attached to the issue. And maybe one day it will become a non-issue. I would like to work towards that and work myself out of a job at Safe City.
Of course. And this idea of conversation is something that we are very much used to talking about on the radio show, because that's what we're all about. And I know, Anu, that's all what the summit series is all about for Women Investing in Women, is creating a discussion and having people voice their opinions and their personal stories. And I feel that that's the true way to create changes, by understanding what the problem is, how it affects people around the world, and then brainstorming with people about different solutions. So I think that the programs that, you know, Safe City has created, the platform that it has created for itself as well, is very important in to create that change. Now, have you experienced that after people have contributed with their reports, and you see the trends of different reports that are happening, have you experienced that different authorities of cities with the higher rates of crime reported have made changes to decrease the rate of crime?
See, wherever we've presented them with the data, we've had positive responses. So in Bombay, we actually presented data on the dominant issue, which was chain snatching, that is robbery of you know, jewelry which is worn by women. And the police have changed their beat patrol timings. Now for the Twitter channel for reporting, which we are launching in August, I am in the process of formally tying up with several of the police forces in different parts of India. And I've got a
very positive response. So I think they're very open to it. In Nepal, our partner organization was able to use the data to convince transportation authorities that women in Kathmandu needed women-only buses, and she was issued 2 bus licenses for women only. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in another part of Delhi, Lal Kua, women complained about no access to the toilets and being vulnerable to sexual attacks when they were relieving themselves in the bushes, either early in the morning or late in the evening. When presented with the data, the authorities actually made the toilets available and promised to maintain and clean them. So I think when you have data, you can actually hold them to be accountable to their jobs. But where the police are concerned, I have seen that they are willing to, you know, help out and are open to these new methods of reporting. Mm-hmm.
Have you connected with the Department of Education in terms of rolling out the app to young girls in schools and colleges? Have you approached it at a government level in terms of outreach?
So not really the government levels, but in Bombay, incidentally, today itself, we got the endorsement from the Mumbai University, where we are partnering with them on the National Social Service Program, where in 10 colleges, we'll have access to students who will work with us and get academic credits for the work that they do with Safe City. So that for us was a huge plus. And with several other colleges, including Delhi University, we have campus ambassador programs where we have college students partnering with us. But at the education ministry level, not yet.
Very interesting. And now we are going to go to our last break of our discussion, but we encourage our listeners to not go anywhere because we have more to the conversation when we get back. Remember to connect with us by going to facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, comments using the hashtags womeninvest, #girlsinvest, or #weforshe, as well as to follow @pinthecreep, and that is the Safe City Twitter handle. So we encourage all of you to interact with Safe City as well on Twitter and to connect with them on Facebook. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the State of Women Radio Network, the first and only global radio network focused exclusively on women and girls.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are at our last segment of our discussion with Elsa Da Silva of Safe City, as well as with Anu Bardwaj of Women Investing in Women. And Elsa, to talk about overall the experience that you've had in creating the Safe City platform and understanding how this platform is helping women and girls all over India and around the world. Do you remember the first moment when you realized that what you were doing with Safe City was truly impacting communities and lives of women and girls?
Yes, because I mean, it's truly been a magical journey for me because, you know, making that switch from corporate to the development sector, you know, was not very easy after 20 years of spending it in aviation. But, and, you know, it was a frightening experience for myself too, because, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. But when we launched Safe City and the reports started coming in, a friend of mine called me up and said to me, she said, you know, I may not openly write about it, but I'm reading every single report. And I can tell you that I connect with every single one of them. And to me, that was very, very touching. And it was an endorsement of my work because I felt that if one person is connecting with these reports, how many more are actually reading and, you know, connecting as well. So that's exactly what we are trying to do, right? Because there's so much of stigma attached to the issue that we internalize the problem. But when we realize that we are not alone and that there are so many more women who face or have faced the same thing, we then tend to look at the issue very differently. And we hopefully, I would think, they would externalize it to say, okay, it's not me who was causing it. So what can I do now to change it? And to me, you know, just having these simple moments like the young girl coming and telling me that I can go home and talk to my mother, or, you know, a friend of mine calling me to say that, you know, can you help me now find, you know, a legal aid for my sister-in-law who's facing domestic violence, though that's not an area that we directly work in. Mm-hmm. I think it's great because earlier I probably would not have been the resource that they would have gone to, you know?
Mm-hmm. Very much agree with that. And I want to talk about the stigma within our culture. We talked about it a little bit earlier in the interview, but I want to talk about it again. And the fact that this issue is so massive, and you said earlier as well that one in three women experience gender-based violence. And with an issue this massive, why do you believe that we have kept it suppressed for so long? Why is it taken until, you know, 2015 to truly make an effort to try to prevent this from happening and to make the stories of these women heard?
I think it's a power game at the end of the day. So it's always people who have more power over you trying to suppress you. And unfortunately, that's linked to economics. In many parts of the world, women are not financially independent, and therefore they are vulnerable to their partners or to whoever controls the money. So that is one of the main reasons. Second is we don't talk about it enough. So we don't talk about it enough. We don't really visibly know about the problem, or it's not at the forefront of our discussion. So today, to give you an example, we did a workshop at a corporate on sexual harassment at the workplace. And the men just couldn't understand why it's such a big issue. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we have to talk about these, bring it out into the open. The official statistics need to reflect it, which unfortunately we still have a long way to go. And maybe Safe City is, you know, facilitating that process, getting the conversations out in the open, making the statistics more robust, even if it is through crowdsourced data, and reaching more men and women and boys and girls through our workshops and on-the-ground campaigns, getting them involved to take a more active interest in their own safety, neighborhood safety.
Right. Now, in order for prevention to be a reality, there has to be education of both males and females. So about what percent of the participation with Safe City is by men?
I would say 40%.
Okay, so pretty high.
Yes, pretty high. We insist that at our workshops, it's a mixed group. And we actually, for one corporate, are doing it only for their male employees, you know, a section of their male employees. So, yeah, I mean, and even our on-the-ground campaigns involve men and boys in it. So we try to make it a societal issue rather than a women's issue.
Very good.
And it's very important to involve the men and boys in the conversation if you really want to bring about change.
Mm-hmm. Now, again, to our listeners, if you're just now listening to our show, you are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls, and we are talking with Elsa Da Silva of Safe City and Anu Bhardwaj of Women Investing in Women. And now, there are many ways that volunteers are used within this organization. I think you mentioned before that this organization really is run by volunteers. So how can the listeners listening to this conversation right now, as well as our followers on Facebook and such, how can they get involved? How can they help Safe City progress?
So they can get in touch with us either on Facebook, safecity.in, or on Twitter, Pin the Creep, or directly on our website, or an email, info@safecity.in. We have volunteers that help us with tech, with graphic design, with data analysis, on the ground, with social media, with blogging. We have a bloggers team called the Writers Movement. I also have somebody in San Francisco helping me with strategy. So it depends. We try to give them tasks that they would enjoy doing because, you know, it's important that they stay engaged. And even if you have 1 or 2 hours a month. You know, that's quite helpful. If you, you know, want to connect with us, please do so. We'd be happy to have you on board.
Now, if there are listeners coming from different countries or different continents for that matter, and they are thinking to themselves, you know, I know that there's a lot of violence and crime going on in my city that isn't being reported. Is there a way that they can work with Safe City to try to bring its services and technology to where they are?
So at this point, the map is embedded on our website to look at India. But, you know, with our partners in Nepal, Cameroon and Kenya have been mapping on the same site. So it doesn't stop anyone from mapping violence in their countries. We have random reports from America and from the UK, but you can use the same form. And if there's a partner organization elsewhere in the world, we can look at embedding it with their country on their website, the same safecity.in.
Perfect. Now, we love to ask our guests this question, and I know that you have worked so much for the development, advancement, protection, I mean, you name it, for women and girls around the world. And I know that you've been able to help many of these females, especially in India. And I'd like to know from you, what advice do you have for young women and girls in keeping themselves safe or in speaking up or any advice that you'd like to contribute?
So first and foremost, I'd like to tell them that they are not alone in the problem. There are others out there who face pretty much the same thing. Therefore, there's no shame in talking about it and seeking help. Go to a trusted adult, a trusted friend, seek help. There's a lot of help available, and it takes courage to talk about it, but one must do it. You know, because if you don't talk about it, it's only going to limit your choices and limit your movements. But by seeking help, you can, you know, find a way around it and hopefully, you know, help you move on with your life and get the best out of it.
We love it. And Elsa, we so much appreciate you being a part of our program today. And Anu, it's been great to have you join us as well back in the United States. So it's great to have you. This was a great conversation. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you, Anu.
So welcome.
And we'd like thanks for listening as well. Once again, you've been listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. This show is produced by the State of Women Radio Network, the first radio network for women and girls. Remember, we do want you to connect with us by going on facebook.com/womeninvesting. We also want you to connect with Safe City on Facebook and on Twitter. Use the hashtags WomenInvest, #GirlsInvest, and #WePerceive. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls with Michelle Jaffe. Download our shows on iTunes or listen on demand right here on thestateofwomen.com, the first and only global radio network focused exclusively on delivering the latest trends in investing, entrepreneurship, and global women's issues by and for women and girls.